And now, if you'll open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 15. And I trust that you will be in prayer as the message goes forth, that God would use it to bless the hearts of listeners. And should there be those without the Savior, that He might use the message to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 15. I shall begin reading at verse 1. But I would ask you first to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we ask that as the book is opened before us, even so our hearts and minds would be open to hear Thee. To hear Thee not only for time, but for eternity. For we know that we are dealing with things that will last beyond the measure of time and live in all eternity. We thank Thee for Thy sacred word, and we pray that we might so honor it. And may Thy word find a place within our hearts to change our lives and help us to walk in the paths of righteousness that will ultimately lead us to Thy throne. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. No one can read the New Testament very far and very long without discovering the purpose for which Jesus came. Outstanding in my text are three things, I believe, that glow like lanterns in the darkness relative to the purpose for which Jesus Christ came into this world. One, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Two, Jesus will leave nothing undone in order to save sinners. And three, there is rejoicing in heaven every time a sinner is born again. Beloved, if you want to know what will make heaven happy today, repent of your sin. And all heaven rejoices because you have found the peace that comes only through repentance of sin. As I read these verses over several times, it dawned upon me the truth of what we've been singing all through these years. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Amen. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, the needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. I think a fitting topic for my message today is simply the sinner's friend. I want to show you from the Word of God why I believe Jesus Christ is the sinner's friend. One, Jesus came to the sinner's world. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger almost 2,000 years ago, the stench of the stock and the animals that were housed in the manger did smell. But something that smelled worse in the nostrils of God was the stench of sin. Thanks be unto God that there was another aroma surrounding the manger that day. And I speak now of the perfume of heaven. For underneath those swaddling clothes, God was laid in the manger in flesh. The choir just sang it. My Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and myrrh their texture fills. Its fragrance reached this heart of mine, with joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. Jesus Christ came to the sinner's world. What a dark, repulsive, uninviting world it was when Jesus came. A world that was inhabited by sinners and infested with sin. Say, men are not sinners because they sin, but men sin because they are sinners. For God's Word declares that all men are sinners. It is written, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. It is written again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again it is written, there is not a just man upon the earth who sinneth not. The psalmist said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And again the psalmist testifies, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they have been born, speaking lies. Jesus Christ came to the sinner's world. And you know, sin is a heart matter. It's an inside job. If you've ever plucked an apple from the tree to see a hole bored in the apple, you've probably guessed that a worm bored through from the outside to the inside. But the scientists tell us that the egg was laid in the blossom of the flower and the worm made its way outside from inside to out. That's why you see the hole that's been bored by the worm. The worm came from the core, from the inside. So does sin come from the inside of the heart. No wonder the Bible declares God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance, not on the outside. It doesn't matter to God too much how your hair is parted this morning or the kind of clothing that you wear. It doesn't matter to God how many zeros are in your salary or what your final income was for 1968. What matters to God is your heart. Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 7. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, Jesus said, and defile the man. Sin is written on the heart of every man. And when Jesus came into a sinner's world, he came into a world that was conditioned by sorrow, that was characterized by sin, that was covered by shame. Someone has estimated that by the time a man lives to be 50 years of age, that includes a whole lot of people here today, by the time a man lives to be 50, that he has committed in deed or word or thought or imagination or impulse 1,500,000,000 sins. This is a sinner's world. But Jesus came to it. And wherever Jesus Christ has been received, he's turned that world of sorrow and sin and shame into a world of happiness and peace and eternal joy. Is Jesus the sinner's friend? Yes, he is, because he came to the sinner's world. And not only that, Jesus is the sinner's friend because he sympathizes with the sinner's need. No man could deny that all men have many needs. We have physical needs. We have psychological needs. We have spiritual needs. And one of the outstanding needs in man is the need for someone to sympathize with us. For someone to be identified with us. And that someone has come. And he is Jesus Christ. And he is here. And he is your friend. And he sympathizes with your every need. But someone would say, "Preacher, what does Jesus want with me? Look at me. I'm nothing. I'm nobody." You know, God specializes in nobodies. And by his grace, he makes them somebodies. You may seem this morning to be nothing to the world. It may be in your life that there's more on the sheet of balance in your life that pulls you down than pulls you up. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ does want you. What does he want with you? I submit at least three things. First, he wants to give you eternal life. Second, he wants to make a precious investment in you. And third, he wants to make you an ambassador to all the world. Jesus Christ wants to give me eternal life, I hear the searching soul ask. Yes, he does. For his testimony is this: I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is your friend. Jesus wants to lift you out of that substandard living and onto a new plane of glorious living in him. Substandard living, somebody might ask. Maybe you don't know, preacher. I own my own home. I have a nice car. I have a good job. I have security. That's still substandard living without Christ. For no man can come to the full potential of his life without Jesus Christ. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And Jesus said it in another way: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man is more than just a physical being to satisfy the physical appetites. Man is a creature made in the image of God. And you and I cannot fulfill nor ever realize the potential of our lives until and unless Jesus Christ lives within. He wants you to have eternal life. And he gave himself for you. He will spare nothing. He will leave the 99 in the wilderness and search for you. That's how important you are. And he wants you no matter what your life has been, nor is now. Just as you are, God wants you. He wants to give you eternal life. And yes, he wants to make a priceless investment in you, that in the ages to come, he might show forth his kindness to you through Jesus Christ. And he wants to make you his ambassador to the world. Ambassador to the world, yes. That's what I said. In recent days, we have heard a whole lot about the selection of cabinet members and the appointing of ambassadors to the various nations and to the United Nations. But you know, this morning, you have a divine appointment. You belong to a divine cabinet. And God wants you to be an ambassador, not just to one nation, but God wants you to be an ambassador to all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the theme of our mission Sunday today. God wants you, however handicapped you are, whatever the shortcoming of your life, whatever the past record of your living, God wants you to be His ambassador. Amen. To carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And beloved, there will not have to be any confirmation or approvement. You say yes, and God has already given you the appointment to be His ambassador to the nations of earth. That's quite a discovery, isn't it? That God wants us. Someone asked Sir John Simpson, "Sir John, what is the greatest discovery that you have ever made?" And Sir John Simpson answered, "The greatest discovery that I've ever made was when I discovered that I was a great sinner and Jesus Christ was a great Savior." Amen. Oh, what a discovery. And God's word declares it. You and I are lost. We're sinners by nature. But we can be born again and brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus sympathizes with the sinner's need. He knows your need today. And He is in sympathy with it. Give Him a chance. And He will meet every need of your life. Jesus is the sinner's friend because He died the sinner's death. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 2, "But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." That means you. Every man. "That He might taste death for every man." Jesus Christ died the sinner's death. I say it again, when He went upon Calvary's cross, He went there in your stead and mine. You and I deserve to die. All mankind is under the eternal sentence of death. But Jesus took your sins and mine, and according to Peter, bore them in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Yes, I say, you and I should have been strung upon that cross. You and I should have been nailed to the tree. You and I should have had the crown of thorns about our heads. You and I should have had our sides riven open. You and I should have had the blood drained out of our bodies. But Jesus died in our stead. He is my substitute this morning. He is my Savior today. And because He died, I don't have to. He's the sinner's friend because He died the sinner's death. And you don't have to die if you'll trust Him. Well, I'm going to give you His word. "He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death." From death unto life. Life everlasting. Life evermore. Life without a price to us. Freely given to us through His death upon the cross. Jesus is the sinner's friend because He died the sinner's death. My beloved, this morning, Jesus is the sinner's friend because He hears the sinner's prayer. Two men went up to the temple one day to pray. And Jesus said that one of them prayed, "Dear God, I'm glad, I thank Thee that I'm not like this other fellow. That I tithe and I fast and I keep the law and I do this, that, and the other. He was so full of I that he didn't have any room for Jesus. A lot of people are that way today. And Jesus said the other man then prayed. And he did not as much as lift up his face, but smote upon his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, who do you suppose went home justified? I'll tell you, the man who prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And I'll tell you this morning, and back it up by the authority of this blessed book, that there has never been, and there shall never be, a sinner who prays that prayer who will be turned away from Jesus.
Amen.
Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Jesus is ready to hear your prayer, mister. The sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and he'll save you.
Amen.
And he'll do it right now. He's the sinner's friend.
Amen.
And finally, I know he's the sinner's friend, because he's gone to prepare the sinner's home.
Yes.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If you have no other friend, my beloved, Jesus Christ is your friend.
Amen.
He came into your world, a sinner's world. He sympathizes with your need, the sinner's need. He died your death, the sinner's death. He will hear your prayer, the sinner's prayer. He's gone to build your house, a mansion, yours, the sinner's house. I couldn't leave you without emphasizing that one day he's coming back as the sinner's friend to receive unto himself all sinners who've been saved by grace. You see, that's the only difference. Every man is a sinner. And those who've anchored their faith in Jesus are sinners saved by grace. No wonder we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He's your friend today. Let him into your life. Let him into your heart. Let him into your home. Let him into your family. Let him into your business. He'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, as we pause in these moments at the close of this service, as we've tried to proclaim the unsearchable riches of thy marvelous grace in such a weak and frail way, dear God, I pray this morning that not one man or woman or boy or girl might go out of this house with an empty heart, but may they come this morning by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to trust him. May they forsake sin and self and serve the Savior. Dear God, I pray for those who are indeed saved, but whose lives have not measured up. The old year has ended and a new year has begun. Help us to begin anew and afresh with thee. May we be resolved in our hearts to make this a better year in our homes as Christian principles operate, and in our businesses and in our lives and in the church and on the job and wherever we are. And oh, dear God, we thank thee that Jesus is the sinner's friend. And we ask that each of us today, realizing our own unworthiness, might fall at his feet. Should there be those who are seeking a church home, bring them in today into this fellowship. Whatever the needs are, we leave this congregation in thy hands. We pray thy will be done. We pray the Holy Spirit bring men to thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we ask it, and for his sake.